Welcome to the Coaching Revolution. Welcome to episode 5, Why Coaches Need Materials and Tools. I'm Sarah Short.
And I'm Paul Snell.
So let's start by defining what do we mean by tools and materials. Paul, why don't you take a moment to talk about your return on investment tool that we have?
Sarah, it's a great tool. The return on investment tool is particularly beneficial in the context of business coaching, and it enables us very quickly to be able to show demonstrable, tangible benefit to the business at a bottom line profit level.
Of coaching,
yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so why do we need to do that?
By definition, and I'm being fairly general here, anyone who is in business to make some money.
Yep.
Right? Now, we can discuss the ethics behind all of that, but ultimately you're in business to make money. This return on investment tool enables us to begin to understand where our coaching is having specific benefit. Let me give an example, Sarah.
Okay, you're talking about having benefits, so that's historic. What if you want to use it before you start coaching, where you want to demonstrate where it might have an impact?
The same applies. So let me explain. The return on investment tool sits around two major areas. One is to understand what are the key performance indicators for that business. And the other one is around the questioning, the style of questioning it uses.
Okay.
So both those areas lead us to be able to evaluate tangible benefit.
Right, okay. And the reason that we need to do that as coaches?
Because we need to be able to demonstrate the value.
Okay, yeah. And what I'm trying to get you to say, and clearly you're not going to, is because coaching is often an intangible benefit. And trying to get people to buy an intangible benefit, especially in the current economic climate, is incredibly hard.
Mm.
You know, people, business owners can see the benefit. They can see the benefit of having all their team singing off the same page, or all their team pointing in the same direction and pulling together. They can see that in theory that's a benefit, but if you can't measure that, if you can't measure the we'll get everybody to cooperate, we'll improve communications, we'll improve trust. They are all so intangible that despite the fact that a business owner may see the benefit in it, what they actually need to be able to justify the expenditure is a pounds, shillings and pence number.
Mm, mm.
And that's where the tool comes in most handy, isn't it?
It is. And specifically the fact that it needs to be relevant to that business, you know, because the breadth of businesses we might coach, and I'm a big fan of saying we shouldn't restrict ourselves in that. One of the benefits of this tool particularly is how flexible it is to apply in those different business types.
That's right. Okay, so that's the ROI tool. The business health checkup that the Coaching Revolution has developed, specifically Stephen Parkinson from the Coaching Revolution has developed. Tell us about that. How does that work?
Well, you can't possibly begin to understand the picture of your business. What does it look like until you've asked yourself some fundamental questions about your business, where it is, where it's going, what the content is.
So it's like a snapshot.
It's a snapshot in time that says, okay, this is where we are today. Where do we want to be? And the questions are very well put together to enable to assess that snapshot right now. And any business coach will tell you what's critically important in it with a client is to know where they are. Where is their business now?
Yeah, know the current reality.
Yeah.
People find it very hard. Business people in particular, particularly in my experience, small business owners, because they tend to be owner managers. And so they own the business and they run the business. And so it's the emotional attachment that they have to that business is phenomenal. And they tend to find it very hard to do the reality check thing.
Mm.
And that's what the business health checkup is really, isn't it? It's a reality check. You know, this is where we are, warts and all. And if it's a dreadful place that you are, that's cool, because if you know it's a dreadful place, if you take your rose-tinted glasses off and you say, here we are in a dreadful place, oops, okay, now how do we get out of it? That can be coached.
Mm.
If we are in a really great place, because sometimes, you know, we can But they know, oh, well, you don't understand this, this, and then they look at the snapshot and they go, oh, okay, it's not quite as bleak as I thought. And very occasionally, and it is very occasionally, you'll come across somebody who is absolutely spot on. They know exactly where they are, but they are the exception, I believe, rather than the rule, don't you?
Yeah. Again, this sounds so basic. This sounds so fundamental, but unless we have this snapshot, it's incredibly hard to do a number of things, devise strategies, decide on how the business can move forward. It's interesting what I find a lot with clients. I will ask very early on, can you tell me a bit about your business? Can you tell me, have you got a cash flow forecast, for example?
The answer to that question is no.
Yeah. A lot of the case that is, the point I make is that cash flow forecast is a sobering thought.
Well, we've spent some time with a couple of people who've looked at their cash flow forecast and gone,
But it's, again, we're still talking about benchmarks or sticks in the sand to define a point in time so that you can move from there in a structured way.
Yeah, because if you don't know where that stick is, you're flailing around like a drowning man.
Correct.
Drowning woman, let's be. Let's have some equality in this podcast. Right, okay, so we've talked about an ROI tool, and we've talked about a business health check, and they are clearly both aimed at businesses. Mm-hmm. Now, there are another couple of tools. Well, one is kind of a heading for a whole bunch of tools, but there are another couple of areas where these tools can be used with business owners and with individuals, because obviously with an individual you wouldn't need a business health checkup because they may not be business owners. But these next two tools that we're going to look at can be used with either. One of them is we have created a couple of versions of coaching question cards. Now, let me explain what we've done here, because there are some coaching question cards available out there that are not the same as ours. So there's an organisation who has created what literally looks like a pack of cards, and they're for business owners. And the idea behind this pack of cards is that they can coach themselves. So it's asking the business owner questions that the business owner can then answer. So you can kind of pick a card and answer the question as the business owner. Now, that's not what our cards are. Our cards are questions for the coach to ask the business owner. Now, some coaches, in fact, we know an excellent coach who said, I'm not really a business coach. And what she actually meant was, I'm not a business advisor. Because if you are a coach, you can coach business owners, because business owners are people. And you don't have to know about their business, because they know about their business. They have all the knowledge, or they at least have an awareness of where their gaps are as well, if they don't have all the knowledge, that you don't need to have. But sometimes it can be very helpful, either in preparation or even on the hoof when you're there, to have a whole bunch of questions that you can ask if you feel stuck, or if the conversation is getting turgid, if you need some novelty. If there's a pause and you think, right, okay, what I need here is a complete change of subject. And as coaches, we've got loads of ways of doing that. But one of the ways that I really like is to kind of spread out the cards and say, let's pick a card and let's carry on from there. And it just gives you a change of direction. And those question cards, we've created them for businesses, so very specific businessy type questions. And we've also, in the process of having printed, the ones for coaching individuals, so individual questions. It's kind of centres around the GROW model, but nevertheless, questions for individuals. Clearly, the questions for individuals can be used with any individual, whether or not they're a business owner, but the questions for business coaching are designed to be used with business people.
Yeah.
I think I've probably covered that one off now, haven't I?
Yeah, if I could just add briefly, one of the I'm a big fan of coaching being very fluid, very natural, feel very natural, even in a business context. And I like the idea of these cards, because there are times where you just want to begin a dialogue that is reflective of potentially how someone feels about their business, but is littered with specifics.
Yeah.
How can they register a point and say, this is where my business is in this particular area right now, and I feel like this.
And this is where I want to go. Yes, they're starting points, aren't they?
Absolutely.
They are initiators of meaningful conversations. They're just something that it's really worth having up your sleeve.
Yes.
Or actually specifically in your pocket in the case of these guys. Okay, now the other area of tools that we have are self-analysis tools. Now the self-analysis tools, it's like I think there are seven tools in the self-analysis suite of tools that we've got. And these are designed to be used by anyone.
Yes, they are. And I can tell you from experience, as you've experienced too, Sarah, the use of self-analysis is fascinating. What we know as coaches, what we know is that unless someone can reflect on where they are at a point in time and define what is important to them, what is critical to them, what affects their thought processes, this self-analysis for me is a huge bit of any coaching environment.
Well, it's the fundamentals.
It's absolutely the foundation of the stuff. What's interesting is how many people will come into a self-analysis session and say, I am absolutely clear on what my goals are. I am absolutely sure on what I stand for.
Yeah.
And then within an hour, they go, not so sure anymore. Now I've asked myself the questions. I'm now finding different answers.
What I find interesting when I've done self-analysis sessions with clients is that many, many clients will say, and I'm talking women with small businesses here, they say, I know I should be goal setting, but how do I know what goal to set? I don't know what I want. I just don't want to be where I am now. Yeah. And that's a great place to start. But these self-analysis tools help you ascertain what is it you want to move away from, just as much as, and in which direction do you wish to move? And the whole, our culture, we as adults rarely take the time to stop and look at ourselves in the cold light of day. And if you were to say to somebody, what are your core values? The majority of people, unless they've experienced coaching, would think you were mental. What are you talking about, Corbett? Don't give me that coachy speak, as my kids say to me on a regular basis. But this opportunity to sit and reflect on you, on what's important to you, on where you want to go, on the things that actually, when threatened, will turn you into a mama bear or a papa bear.
Yeah.
You know, those are your core values. And it can be very hard to identify what they are without this opportunity to sit. And I have spent time with coaching clients who, after they've done this self-analysis section, have said, do you know what? I can't remember ever having sat down and thought about me. We don't provide those spaces in our culture because it's self-indulgent or it's you're too busy, you're too busy to being busy to be able to possibly stop and think about yourself for a while. But I think it's probably the most important bit of coaching, really.
It is, and you've already hit it on the head. Self-analysis, really and truthfully, is a journey back to assess your core values. What means the most to you that's going to take you over the obstacles you're going to face, because that's what life's about, right?
Yeah.
What means the most to you so that you are consistently in that end game position where you're in the zone and you're focused and you're achieving?
Well, you know where you're going.
Yes.
Basically, it's the equivalent of the business health check for people.
Perfect. Perfect analogy.
It draws a line in the sand. It says, this is where I am now. It says, these are the things that are important to me and these are the areas in which I want to change.
Yeah.
Or I want my life to change.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we've probably done self-analysis to death, haven't we? Okay, so those are the tools that that we as coaching revolutionaries use all the time. Now let's talk about materials. Because materials is a really, it's an interesting thing. The reason that coaches need materials I believe are many and varied. They are many and varied. And there are coaches out there who will say, I don't need any coaching material. I'm an intuitive coach and I just go in and coach. And that's absolutely fine. However, if you are operating in a business environment and you want the opportunity to be able to coach whole businesses or groups of businesses, it's very apt and nice and opportune to be able to say, look, I have this 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 1 week, two sessions, whatever it is, workshop that I can deliver. And this is what the workshop's about. And this is what the outcome will be, or this is the outcome we're aiming for. And you can buy coaching materials out there, but you can buy them and you can get them for free. Free, well, hey, you know, you get what you pay for, ultimately. Yes, free materials can be great as a kind of a little taster, but, you know, if somebody's giving it away for free, they're only giving you half the story. And the other kind of coaching materials that I've seen available are very prescriptive. So, for example, you do some self-analysis with the clients, and you're working in a, perhaps, let's say you're working in a small business and you've got 10 people working in that business, and you realise really quickly that the office politics are the thing that is holding this organisation back. Now, what office politics is, make no mistake, is it's a lack of emotional management.
Yeah.
It's people getting too upset about the stuff that doesn't matter and being unable to focus upon the stuff that does matter. So as a professional coach, the material that you use should enable you to go, right, okay, I know what I need to do with these people. And whip out of your toolbox stuff that's relevant to the client that's sitting in front of you. Now, the material that I've seen that's out there says, oh, yes, we're going to cover emotional management, but we're going to cover it in several months' time. Okay, well, that's no use. You know, you don't want to be looking at how to kind of take control of the way that you think, for example, in month 10. You might want to be able to do that right now, or even session 10 if you're doing a weekly session. You know, as the professional coach, it should be you dictating where this stuff is going to be used. So, I've talked about creating a tangible program. Replicating a process, Paul?
Replicating a process in the context of coaching, there's a point I want to make, actually, Sarah, maybe a bit about what you just said before I move on to replicating a process. I think it's important to acknowledge that good coaching, in a generic term, is what we would define as intuitive coaching.
We believe that.
That's what we think. To be able to coach in an intuitive style, so that you're able to adapt to scenarios, personalities, and circumstances, gives your coaching a degree of credence when it comes to continued sustainability or continued success. So when we talk about materials, particularly materials, I'm going to advocate always, and I'm sure you'll agree, that while we have a tool set that can be chopped and changed, can be moved around, addressed to the right point, and you described already, so the idea, if you're going to do emotional management, why wait till month 10 when that's a clear issue in the business you're dealing with?
On day one.
You know, we all know the statistics. We all know that there will be some actively disengaged employees there.
Absolutely.
If a coach isn't capable of A, identifying that, acknowledging that, and then managing that, the risk to the team, the risk to the dynamic of the room that you're in, the training room you're in, is that you could lose it.
Yeah, I think you need to define what you mean by actively disengaged.
Yeah, there's certainly a global statistic, but UK-wise, I can tell you roughly what that is UK, from a UK perspective. There's seen as three different levels of employee engagement. We have actively disengaged. These are employees that really don't want to be in their job, and they tell everyone they don't want to be in their job.
noisy.
They're your noisy. They're actually your protagonists. They're the ones that are going to be the issue that you're going to have to deal with. If you're not addressing them, they're the ones shouting, saying, this is no good, this is no good.
Oh, right? this coach is nonsense. Yeah. We've done this before. This is what this organisation does. They bring in an expert.
Yeah. They broadly make up 15% of any team in the UK.
So 1.5 people in the room of 10.
Absolutely. We then go on to the biggest section, which is what we call the disengaged. Now, they're not bad people.
No.
It sounds like they are, but they're not.
No.
All they are people saying, I come, I do my job, and I go home again.
They don't go the extra mile.
They just do their job. That's your biggest pool to fish in when you're looking for the new superheroes in that business, the ones that are going to step up, right? Mm-hmm. That's 50% of the workforce in that section.
So alone. 5 of the 10 in the room.
Are there. The third section are the actively engaged.
So they are your superheroes.
They're your superheroes. Yeah, yeah. They're your champions. And they make up about 35% of the overall population in any business. You want to find them. In any coaching environment, they're going to be your most active and most willing to participate and will lead the way for the others.
Yeah, will be your biggest cheerleaders.
Yes.
Your support. Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you. So, let's have a look. So, replicating a process.
In the context of coaching, when we look at replicating the process, it is very much driven around the idea that you take an holistic view to any business, right? It's not, you don't take stuff in isolation. One of the biggest areas I find of weakness when I see business coaching is when areas are taken specifically out where context is put at risk.
What do you mean?
So let's give an example. I don't think you can appreciate what sales and marketing does by stripping out the sales function, stripping out the marketing function, and identifying them separately. They intrinsically go together, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have seen way too many times in business coaching, people saying, I see you have a problem with your marketing department, and take that into isolation and say, we'll deal with that. That's not how to coach a business. I have spent way too much time now identifying businesses where I get to work with the whole team, from the guy in the warehouse, who's in the warehouse, right up to the CEO, all in one room, because I know they all have value to put into this.
Yeah. Because somebody doesn't work in the marketing department doesn't mean they don't have fantastic ideas.
Completely that. And it's actually really refreshing to watch that dynamic open up. If I put into a room, the whole team in a room, and there's people from the warehouse saying, but we've got an idea on marketing. And like the marketing.
Or even we've got an idea on the organisation. Yes. Just we've got an idea and I want you to listen.
Yes, that's such a strong dynamic.
Yeah.
People actually begin to feel empowered to make a difference within that business.
Well, then they also feel empowered to offer suggestions.
Yes.
Which
open communication. Yeah.
And demonstrating a return, Paul.
Yes, of course, in any business coaching, it's so critical that there is an outcome that the business sees as beneficial to them, right? Now, that outcome, in most cases, is usually defined by a number. Can we grow our business by the revenue? Can we increase profitability by?
Yeah.
So there is...
When you say a number, you mean cash.
Money. Yes, yeah, money. Okay. Money. And, you know, what we say very early on, Sarah, when we talk about coaching, the risk of trying to coach an intangible is the business cannot easily, I choose that word carefully, identify the distinct benefit to it.
Okay, so what's this got to do with materials? Because you're now talking about the ROI tool, which we've covered
in
depth.
From a materials perspective, what is absolutely important is that the materials are relevant to the business.
Yeah.
Right.
And this goes back to being a professional coach and being able to go, right, this is what I need and here it is.
Yes, and also it goes back to, you know, we share a firm belief in the coaching revolution that actually if you have a whole bunch of tools that can be put together in a way that's seen as tangibly beneficial to a business, whatever that business is, then that flexibility, that ability to adapt the tools to fit the requirement is the key.
Rather than the other way around. Rather than the other way around. Adapt the business to fit the tool we have.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, well, I think we've probably covered off why coaches need both materials and tools. Now, clearly, without some good, solid coaching skills, the materials and tools don't make any difference at all. What you know, we're talking about established or certainly qualified, let me be very specific, qualified coaches who then go, right, okay, here I am, and I know I've said this a million times before, and I'll say it a million times again, here I am, clutching my shiny certificate, now what?
Mm.
And that's where, well, and we know this is what the coaching revolution is, but that's where we believe that A, good mentoring helps, and B, having the right tools and materials at your fingertips gives you the best possible opportunity of being one of the 18% that succeed in creating a coaching business and not one of the 82% that fail.
It is. And I think just from my side, we have spent a lot of time looking at tools and understanding what we believe is necessary for a good coaching toolbox. I have to say, Sarah, that's become a bit of a mission for me, coaching tools.
Yeah.
And I know it has for you. And we take particular pride at the Coaching Revolution of making sure that our toolbox is both fluid, is flexible, is relevant, is up to date.
Has been created by coaches,
yes,
for coaches, not by academics or by people, teachers, or you know, they've been created by coaches.
Yeah.
And the other thing about our tools is our materials and our tools is that they have been successfully delivered in the UK.
Yes, yes. Every time, both of us have been doing this long enough now, as is Stephen, there is no question there is geographically relevant information, questions, style, approach, tools.
Yeah.
We need to understand that. This is not us being, oh, let us just be awkward and be different.
No, this is the UK. Yeah, our culture doesn't necessarily fit overseas. And one last thing that we haven't even mentioned is the reason that our materials, our coaching materials, are called elements is because we've broken them down into their component elements, as it were. So there's lots of little different bits of individual stuff that the professional coach can pull together into meaningful material to deliver to individuals or to businesses.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've probably done that to death now, haven't we?
I think so.
So thank you very much for listening, and we look forward to speaking to you next time.
See you next time.
That's all from the Coaching Revolution. See you next time.